Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving.
There's some seats.
Hello.
At the front.
Yeah, please don't stand. There's
Come
seats
on.
Right here.
We won't take the mickey, I
we
promise.
We don't pick on you. We are too narcissistic for that. This is all about us hour. Come in, come in. Make yourselves comfy. Comfy? Welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Yay!
Daytime edition. This is the earliest show we have ever done. And you got, oh boy, you got to ask, like, at what point do we come out here and it's just our family and friends in a circle? Like, we love you, but we're terribly, terribly worried. It's funny because it's going to happen. Anyway, I will introduce my sidekicks here and then I'm going to ask you guys a question. First of all, we've got Hannah George.
Hello, everybody. You're right to vaguely cheer because I might not be very funny. Who knows? It's exciting. Actually, yeah. Indeed, give me a cheer if you listen to the podcast.
Woo!
And give me a cheer if you're new to us. There's definitely a third
some
set of people
you,
in this room.
Some of you did not participate in that survey, but that's all right. That's all right. Katie Wilkins!
Hello! Yeah.
About right?
They're not sure of either of us, and that's fine.
That's all right. Make up your mind. Consent is very, very important.
Yeah.
Katie, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. I've just been rocking out to the baby disco. I don't know if anyone's been there.
Woo.
With small children. What's that? You know the song from Dirty Dancing? And everyone's, because it's for babies, and everyone's lifting their babies above their head on the lift. And both my kids wanted to be lifted. They're four and seven.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm pretty tired all of a sudden.
Oh,
but it was fun.
I love it as well because, like, neither of those kids have seen Dirty Dancing.
I know.
I assume.
And honestly, they did the intro, go, nobody puts baby in a corner. And Phoebe was like, Mummy, what does that mean?
Oh.
And, like, I tried to explain some of the plot of a film about abortion. So,
yeah.
Well.
I can't wait to watch that with my daughter and be like, the laws are exactly the same now as they were then. So it's no longer a retrospective. Anyway, the question I was going to ask you, Hannah already asked you. But I assume if you... Yeah, thanks for that. If you don't listen to the podcast, I guess you don't know what a podcast is. So we're going to have to pull out our PowerPoint and just go through a few things. I think we're ready to bring out our guest. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, please welcome to the stage, Janine Garofalo.
Yay!
There she is.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. There's a moth celebrating your entrance with you.
I brought it with me from New York. It's a New York moth.
I'm flying here. That's the only thing I've ever found in New York.
That was actually not bad, accent-wise.
Thank you.
Compared to some. That's not a criticism. It's just a lot of people really like enjoy things like The Sopranos, things of that nature, and will do that. And I actually was born and raised in New Jersey. I could read the news. You can't tell that. Not everybody is the way that you've seen on the Jersey Shore or The Sopranos. But I feel I have a non-regional in the States anyway accent. I have an accent here. I'm sorry. This is not what this podcast is about.
You know
Please
what?
Continue.
We're allowed to veer.
Please continue.
We're allowed to veer where we like. Well, we do always start it off by asking our guest this question. Janine, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have.
All right.
I've been mugged twice and had my car stolen, but this particular one I shall tell you of is my senior year of college in the off-campus housing. Myself and my roommate, we were broken into. We noticed that when we came home, a pane of glass was missing and somebody came in. So then we called the cops and they went through the rooms and they got to my bedroom and one of the policemen said, boy, they really got you. That's how my room, this is true. I'm not trying to be glib. My room was such a mess. They thought that, and I'm not messy now. I'm quite tidy. But at that time, it was such an abomination. The cops was like, whoa. So I chose that one. Although the gentleman, I'm assuming it was gentleman, I'm sorry, sweeping generalization, urinated in my bed, which I didn't know, which is not on a lot of times. I have heard from others that have been broken into that as a statement, if there's nothing of value, sometimes the perpetrators will go number one or number two in people's bed or a sink as a criticism.
Wow.
I guess the lack of wow. ill-gotten booty to be ill-got.
Dang.
Wowzers. I immediately just think, like, I'd be too nervous to go. But that's why I don't break into houses. Oh, my goodness. Well, we always ask on the podcast, Janine, if you had the perpetrator. Well, first of all, did anything come of it? Filed a report?
No, and there was nothing of value to be taken. I think we would keep, my roommates and I had like a dollar box, a shoe box where everybody puts your loose change in.
Okay.
And then it's utilized for something. And that was taken. I mean, to buy like Pizza Friday or.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said it like that. Pizza Friday, which I call Pizza Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But the dollar box was taken. Yeah.
Already, but obviously no arrests made.
The police were in no way, and I wouldn't expect them to. You know, what I mean, in no way were they going to investigate any further beyond.
Okay. They could have got the DNA from the urine and done the run.
Yeah, the Rhode Island Police Department had a full plate. They weren't interested in 1980. This was 85 or 86. Collecting urine.
From your pillow.
Does urine have DNA in it? If you've got blood in it.
But it has to have blood in it.
Yeah, there was no blood in this. There was no blood in this urine.
Or
you find the person and say, you need to go to the hospital. Because something's very wrong.
Well, Janine, we always ask, if you had the perpetrator in front of you and you were able to speak to them, ask them a question or do anything with impunity, what would you say?
It wouldn't be those perpetrators. When I got mugged for the second time in Los Angeles, once in Boston, once in Los Angeles, which I always feel like you get lucky. If nothing terrible happens, I'm fine with it. And I just handed stuff over me. It was two young kids with guns. And that's just a Tuesday in Los Angeles. That's nothing. Not nothing, but I just immediately took my backpack off. And the worst part is, though, they got my comedy notebook, which embarrassed me to my core. Because if you could read, this is in 1992. And I used to say, if anybody sees two Latinos bombing at the Laugh Factory, that's the perpetrators. And now we would say Latinx. So I'm sorry. I'll cancel my sub. Boo, cancel. But that's the only thing that really bothered me is because it was also like a journal, diary, notebook. Oh. And that embarrassed me to my core, my comedy writing in there. Oh,
God. That's what I always worry about if I get my phone stolen and they get into my pictures and it's just various pictures of mine and my husband's moles. Like, you know, I'm just like, we got to check them. We've got to make sure they're not getting bigger, they're not discolored, and they're not. And it's just, yeah.
Oh, we do a lot of that too, because you can zoom in and really analyze.
Yeah.
Them.
And then on Facebook, suddenly they have this thing where it's like, do you want to post? And it puts the last 10 pictures. And I'm like, there's a vagina one on there. I'm not.
I hate how they, I'm sure you can turn off that feature, but I don't
I refuse to. I like the danger.
I don't want my own pictures thrown at me. Because, yeah, it's all like warts and my dog. And I have a kid. Everyone's like, let's see a picture of your daughter. I'm like, all righty. Anyway, Janine, thank you so much for sharing those stories. Pleasure.
Thank you for asking.
Oh, anytime. Alrighty. Well, are we ready to solve some true crime?
Yeah.
Here we go. Yay. A very well-known man dies every day. A very well-known man dies in 1955 in a hospital in Princeton, New Jersey. This man had left specific instructions about what should be done with his remains, saying they should cremate them, scatter the ashes secretly in order to discourage idolaters. I mean, same. I know you're going to want to mess with my body, but please just leave it alone. So he had really specific instructions. Your first question is, do you have any idea who this might be?
So if he said idolater, is it a person of note that the name of this person would attract?
Very much of note.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
1955, he died.
55, Princeton, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. What did he die of?
old age?
I feel like you should know. This is your podcast.
Tanya was like, I'll host Janine.
No, not that. So you don't know how this person died.
I don't know the specific cause of death, but I do believe it was old age.
Related to old age.
Right, so it's not a crime. He's died naturally.
Yes, natural cause.
Hasn't
disease,
checked his moles. Because check your
possibly
moles,
a stroke, heart disease, could have been cancer. It's one of the big three.
Okay.
So the question was who it was.
Yeah, who
is he? Is he some kind of cult leader?
Or a inventor, a professor who taught at Princeton, perhaps.
I'm getting closer with that. Yeah.
So he's
so well known.
He's a smart guy, then.
He's a smart guy.
Is he a titan of industry?
That's the most bored voice of the magazine. Einstein.
We get the best heckles at our podcast because they're just correct answers.
Oh, is that correct?
It's Einstein.
Oh, my God.
Well done.
I didn't know the year Einstein had died. I wouldn't have gotten it anyway, but I didn't know the year Einstein had died, and I didn't know he died in Princeton, New Jersey.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Was he sticking his tongue out at the time? When he died, he stuck his tongue out. And every student in the world put the picture up on their wall.
Yeah. Okay, just so you know, I already wrote that joke, so if I repeat it, I didn't steal it from Janine.
Oh, sorry. It's just...
No, don't say sorry. Oh, my God. Female workplace. Okay. So it was Einstein who, of course, Einstein was best known for marrying his cousin. It's true. He married his cousin. He left his wife to marry his cousin, Elsa.
First cousin?
First cousin, which gives a whole new meaning to theory of relativity. I missed out on a lot in school, and you just catch up. And her name was Elsa. So it also makes you wonder, was E equals MC squared? Was that Elsa equals my cousin? Squared. And we just missed it all. I'm no physicist, so I don't know.
Do you want to do some incest?
Now I need to know how Einstein died. Who said Einstein back there? How did Einstein
Does anybody
die?
Know how he died?
Not so vocal now. All right. How do we not know that, though? It seems like something many of us would know. I actually feel that...
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Can somebody have a bit of a goog?
I mean, I am here. There's no signal in here, so...
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I really
she has a signal.
Feel like we should know that.
All right, we'll find
he's
it
Einstein.
Out. We'll find it out. We'll find it out.
You know that he married his cousin. You know where it is, and yet you don't know. I'm not mad at you. I just feel that's... That's that. I am surprised.
I'm the first to say I could up my research
game. You took
game.
The time to write your jokes. You took the time to write your jokes.
I did.
And not fight, because now we're all so curious, are we not?
To be honest, I thought people would be more excited about the cousin thing, but...
I am surprised by that. I didn't know.
Either way. Yeah. And then he cheats on his cousin with his secretary, Betty. That's right. I'm throwing Einstein under the fucking bus today.
Man, yeah.
We've idolized him all these years with him sticking his tongue out, the posters in college. Yeah. Literally, it's just written on
my always strange when you hear about people like Einstein or Stephen Hawking having affairs. And it's always, I find, it's unusual because it's like, who was attracted to whom first and why? I know that seems boo cancel. I'm just saying it seems that it would be difficult to have an affair with Stephen Hawking. It'd be easier with Einstein for sure, but
especially if we were related to him. I know.
It just is unusual to me.
Yeah.
That happens a great deal.
Yeah. And you think what they really needed was a formula to keep it in their pants.
Did somebody just time. In the middle of that shot, it was a stroke. I think they did.
Okay.
Einstein
look
had
at her glowing in the dark.
A stroke.
It was a stroke. Okay.
Wow. I never knew that. Thank you. I never knew that. That's or maybe I knew it and forgot that
yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Now,
it seems like something we should know.
Yeah. All right, we've got cause of death recorded.
Here's where the crime comes. It may shock you to learn that his remains were not treated according to his wishes. What happened instead?
Oh, no. Well, they all fight over them. His brain got stolen.
Ooh. Because you'd want to know. You could hold it hostage for ransom, A, or you could, if you were, no, that would be worth a lot. Or if you were a neuroscientist, you'd say, is there something different about this brain?
Oh.
Thank you.
This is, we always...
From the Netherlands? From the Netherlands? I feel like that sounds like, are you from the Netherlands?
I'm from Aberdeen.
I thought that sounded like a Scandinavian... Aberdeen. They're very near each other, is that right? They're side by side. I'm not good with geography. I feel they're like you could drive, right? I thought it sounded like Scandinavian. Well, there's similar shortened vowels.
Aortic aneurysm. That is now my favorite heckle we've had.
So the stroke was after the aneurysm is in the brain.
Yeah. Mm.
And then the stroke was afterwards.
Would follow, I would imagine.
I think that was the type of stroke it was.
Guys, I cannot stress enough how little his death has to do with the case. but I will say, his brain was stolen. Yes.
Oh, it was.
And Janine, spot on, the reason for it was this obsessive interest in, is it different? Mm-hmm. Can we learn what makes genius just by looking at the differences in a brain?
No one would want my brain.
Like, not when it's...
I'd want your brain.
Dead.
Well, we're talking about Einstein.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense, but we're talking about one of the most iconic smart people.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would be unusual if someone took your brain your family would pay. I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm just saying there's probably others who worry about quote unquote idolaters, which I would have. Yeah. That's an interesting way to put it.
Hannah does worry about idolaters as well. She has very good self-esteem.
But she's wrong too.
What is your IQ? How did you do on your SATs?
I got a 6 and a 6 and a 7.
Oh, that's different scoring than I
don't. And I made it up. I don't know what I got. I think I did well, but I'm most certainly not particularly intelligent.
I got the lowest score you can get on the math SATs. It was as low as if you just signed your name. That is true.
Maths, as we say on this podcast, maths is impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I wasn't being
No.
We don't call it
you're
maths,
right. No,
actually.
I feel you're right, because I feel that if I can call it the Queen's English, and I'm sorry if that's... I'll cancel myself again. I feel like... That's the original recipe of the language. So if maths is what is said, I feel like that American came after. So you're probably correct.
Nice.
Or you're correct in that. It would be what you're saying. Although aluminium I disagree with. And centrifugal.
This I feel is that's about just, to get violent.
That's just strange.
Well, I can't even remember what we said.
There's more than one math, so I get maths. But why do you say when a woman is pregnant, her waters broke?
Because the water breaks and liquid comes out.
But waters, they say waters, plural here.
Well, Australians sometimes say I can feel it in me waters. When or in Kath and Kim, they do anyway. Though.
Yeah, that's true. You just said that the other day. Also, please remember that as a friend, I said I would take your brain. I just want you to remember that.
And I didn't mean to cast aspersions on you.
No. Okay, so let's meet our criminal. His name is Dr. Thomas Harvey, best known for not marrying his cousin. He stole Einstein's brain, and he was the pathologist on call at the hospital. Wow. I know, we've talked about a lot of shoplifting on this podcast, but this is a different one. So despite not having any permission from the family to take the brain, Harvey coaxed a very reluctant blessing from Einstein's son, Hans. How did he convince him that this was a good thing, that he had the brain?
Money.
Money, okay. In what sense?
But I can see how you could make the case. This could be beneficial to public study. Now, if it goes counter to the wishes, that can be problematic. But when there is what we would consider an extraordinary brain, in the same way with certain pathological criminals, they have looked to the brain to see if that
they
is
have.
Different.
Yep.
So I can see how someone might say, This could be beneficial to society as a whole, mm-hmm. to look at this. That could be how you convince
right.
somebody.
So it overrides his wishes because it's just too important
like
for science.
Like utilitarianism, the greatest good for the greatest number.
Yeah.
Jeremy Bentham.
Yes.
I think it, like, zombie Einstein. I think that, he was like, look, I could probably bring your dad back.
Like, nice. Build a new one.
Is that why it's called Frankenstein?
No, it's Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I know.
Sorry. Sorry. I didn't until somebody told me that it's Dr. Frankenstein. And Frankenstein's monster.
You know what? You're spot on, Janine. And he said it's all in the interest of science. He wanted to find out if there are differences. Da, 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 da.
I kind of wished Hannah was right, though.
We all wanted zombie to happen. But yeah, they wanted to find out the differences between Einstein's brain and a regular brain of somebody who doesn't marry a family member. That's the last time. I won't bring it.
Jerry Lee Lewis doesn't come up.
I won't. I won't bring it back. So
Queen Victoria.
Yes.
Yeah. Famously.
Was that her first cousin?
That's too her soon. Albert first cousin. It is too soon. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're quite right.
Harvey loses his job at the hospital, presumably for stealing a brain. And he carves the brain up into pieces for study.
So wait, he's still got the brain?
Oh, yeah, he's got the brain.
They know he's got it.
Yep.
So they sack him, but they don't arrest him. They just let him keep the brain.
No one arrests him at any point.
Does anyone not file charges to go, I want the brain back?
Well, I gather what this, like, reluctant Hans was probably the proxy.
So, it's legit
so he
now.
Was like, okay. But it was very much, when you look back at how it all happened, it was very much coaxed. He was in the throes of grief and he's like, I got your dad's brain. It's for good cause. And he was like, okay. It wasn't real. Anyway, my question is, how many pieces did he cut the brain into? How many pieces?
I bet you quite a lot. Very thin, almost like on, and I'm not being glib, a deli type of, honestly, like you would want to see neurologically. Thin slice.
Yeah. We're saying a Parma ham. Right.
It's like fine. Yeah. Okay. But that's how you would look at it, and then possibly to look at it under a microscope type thing.
Yes.
So I feel it would be a great many slices.
Yeah, like great many slices. We're all thinking
enough
of
for
prosciutto.
A Reuben.
It's fine.
Enough for a Reuben at Katz's Deli. In
yep. So how many?
I'll have
that equate to.
I've got the scene from Mean Girls in my head where Katie like gets the crown and goes, picks it off and then throws it. I'm just imagining all these scientists and he's like, you get a piece and you get a piece. And so I don't know, I'm saying like as many scientists as in the room in my brain. So like 15.
15 pieces?
Yeah, 15
okay.
pieces.
What he's got to dissect it. So he's got to cut it at least. He's got to, I think he cuts it in half and then all right, just to be different, I'm going to say he cuts into four pieces.
Four pieces. Janine, you want to throw a number on it?
Well, I'll say a pastrami, a stacked pastrami. I mean, if the Reuben didn't do it for you, I'm going to say a Dagwood sandwich. If anybody is familiar with Blondie and Dagwood, he would make tall sandwiches.
I understand.
So I'm going to say enough for a pastrami on rye at Katz's Deli, which is you can't even get your mouth around. It's like that.
It's, yeah, it's
77.
All right. Well, you are the closest. It was 240. 240 pieces.
That's thin. That's thin.
That is thin. Wafer thin. It took 3 months for him to slice it. But I feel like I could do it faster.
It just, how did he keep the brain from decaying?
Ah, well, we are coming to that. He said this was all in the name of science. But where was he storing the brain?
In the freezer.
In the refreezer.
In the freezer.
Okay, keeping it frozen, yeah? Good guess.
It's easier to slice also, frozen.
It is.
It's very true.
I assume.
Like sushi.
I mean, when you watch a cooking show, they always say,
yeah,
make sure it's cool before
keep they the brain cool.
So you got to keep the brain cool. But also, it will decay, presumably.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I just watched too many sort of science fiction things, but I feel like it's in a sort of bell jar with, like, it's being pickled. Do you know what I mean? Like it's
like formaldehyde.
Yeah. It's pickle brain.
Pickle brain. Okay. Mm-hmm. Freezer. Pickle brain. Katie. Any advance
How
on that?
How did he store it? He cast a spell.
Katie's right. Yeah. No. It kept it in a jar. Basically pickled. It wasn't formaldehyde, and I forgot to write down what it was. I'm sorry. I will up my research game. But it was in a liquid to preserve it. Yeah.
But did he? And it wasn't cold.
No, it was stored in his basement, which isn't creepy at all. It's all in the name of science, but he's got it in his basement in jars. This really started to piss somebody off, in fact. Who do you think this was?
The real estate agent. It affected the resale value of the home, I would assume. Because without the brain, why buy it? Why buy that home?
Why buy it?
So if you just are told that there was the brain in the basement, then nobody wants to buy it. I think the real estate agent was the most angry.
I love that answer. Any other thoughts? Who was it pissing off?
One of the chicks he was banging that once.
Well, one of them was called Betty. She has a name. Katie. Goodness me.
Either Elsa or Betty or...
Oh, no, those were Einstein's.
Pissing off someone.
Now we're talking about the neurologist took the brain.
But I'm saying it's pissing off the bereaved.
Whoever he's.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean this creepy basement scientist guy's girlfriends. I mean Einstein's girlfriend.
Oh, sorry, family.
That wanted to scatter the ashes, including the brain.
I get it now. Yeah. Okay. Any other.
Well, I guess that he has a partner of some sort who's kind of like, are you going to your brain dungeon again? I thought we were going to watch a box set.
Ding, ding, ding. It was his wife.
Okay, yeah.
She was getting really annoyed. Like, my main competition is a chopped up brain. And she effectively says, like, it's me or the brain. And he chose the brain.
Oh!
He genuinely, he leaves her and
but
he
they
takes...
were probably other problems in the marriage. That's just something. Yeah. You don't leave somebody with a successful marriage for the brain. It was going that way.
It was going that way.
The brain
I think
is
you're probably
a symbol
right.
Yeah, it's just the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
That's not the first brain he's dissected.
So Harvey leaves her and takes the brain with him, heading to Wichita, Kansas, where it's less weird to carry a brain around.
He leaves her and makes the brain portable and takes it. Okay.
Yeah, he takes it with him. Now, all this time, he is sending out slices of it to various scientists. He's not just hoarding the brain. There are people studying it and trying to evaluate whether there are any differences. But he gets to Wichita. He starts working in a different lab, and he stores it in a new place. Where does he store it now?
Loft.
A loft?
Can it still be a jar?
I think they're still in jars, but then those jars are in something else.
A Russian nesting doll.
A brain and a brain and a brain and a brain. I shall tell you, he started storing it in a beer cooler.
Oh.
So maybe he was keeping it cold the whole time
well,
in the basement.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I do think it can be pickled and kept cold at the same time, and I do
like
feel
pickles.
It's utilitarian for the slicing to the firmness of the brain.
All right. That makes sense. All right. All this time, Harvey's trying to do the research on it, but something happens which threatens his credibility. What could have happened? Because we're so on board with him now.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey, kids. Tired of the same old dolls? Why not try a new Drunk Women Solving Crime dolls? Each doll comes with her own magnifying glass, notebook, and hip flask. There's Kim. Kim's specialism is serial killers. Good job, Kim. There's Megan Shirdley. Megan handles the undercover jobs. Better tidy up that mustache, Megan. They'll know you're a narc. Melanie H. She works homicide. Go Mel! And Rosie Moylan. Rosie's a former con artist now working as an informant for the police. Careful who you befriend, Rosie. You might get killed. Drunk Women Solving Crime Dolls. Collect all four. Each doll gets drunk separately. Find out more at patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Does somebody else say that they have Einstein's brain?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. A little competitor.
Was his credibility undercut by something sexual?
No.
By some kind of graft or grift?
Ah. Well, we'll find out. Katie?
Maybe there was a photo of him like at Disneyland having a really great time meeting
with
Mickey
the brain
Mouse. And then everyone's like,
the brain went on Space Mountain.
Don't forget, this is still the 50s, right? It's still the 1950s.
Oh, we're not even into, oh no, where are we?
Is this
is the 70s now, sorry.
70s. Wait a second.
Whoa.
So hang on. That's an important detail.
That's like 15 years later.
So just presumably the brain turn. Was taken
yeah.
shortly after the death mm-hmm. of Einstein, which was established in 1955.
Yeah.
So okay, look, I don't know what year it is. I don't know what year it is.
That's not good enough. That's not good enough. I was willing to waive the other one, but I find if you're sitting there with paper in front of you, I really expect a higher level.
I am getting eviscerated by my comedy hero. And it feels
no,
so
it's not,
good.
It's because I want the best for all of us. I want us, as the great Del Close would say, work from the top of your intelligence. And I'm sure you're all brighter than me. Listen, this is not about that. It is about, you cannot just sit there on a podcast of this nature and say, you don't know how the person died and you don't know what year we're at. And again, I'm sorry to speak in such strident tones, but you must agree with me. I mean, you do concede that point, right? You feel the same way. I know you do. You've got great eyebrows. You've got great eyebrows.
This is my favorite episode we've ever done.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And that was the day that everything changed. I remembered how to try, how to work hard.
No, you do.
I recognized the value of what I did for a living.
I'm not. Listen. We're friends. We met earlier.
Sure.
I complimented your hair. I said, I thought you were a natural blonde. Come on. Look at it. It does look quite natural, doesn't it? I thought she was genuinely blonde.
Thank you.
And in our culture, that means something. Any hoozle. I am not. I'm sorry I'm speaking so vehemently because I hope you don't.
No, please,
don't feel
please,
angry,
please, just
but
go
I,
further.
I do really. I hope going forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this going to happen more?
No, ma'am.
Well, I don't want you to manufacture answers now because you're frightened. Because that will lower all boats, will it not?
I'll do better. I promise.
Well, no, I don't. I'm not. I have no wish to bully you. But I do think the audience would concur with what I've said.
Yeah.
And maybe this is... they. been thinking this for a long. How long has your podcast? How many episodes have you done?
200.
Okay. And how many people? I heard by the woos backstage there are some people that are heavily invested in this podcast, and I'm glad for it. So are there some that have been here from the first one? I'm asking in earnest. I'm being totally earnest Borgnine with you right now. Is there anyone here who's... I'm not going to yell at you. Is there anyone who's been here from the founding?
Jeanine, I don't think anybody feels safe to talk
to. No, I'm not. This is just how I sound, honestly. And it transcends gender or however you identify. I've been striding with plenty of they, them, those, I can tell you. So has anyone been here since the first podcast?
Oh, fuck you guys!
Thanks for stepping up.
Oh, look, wow. I'm not swearing at you. Well, maybe there's people listening at home that are saying, you know what? I've felt this for 200 episodes. And finally, someone
said it.
Has said that we really should have extremely relevant facts to the case.
Guys, he lost his medical license after taking a 3-day refresher exam. Could happen to any of us.
And are you asking why? Is that what undercut his credibility?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he had to take a factory job after that. Couldn't work in the lab anymore. He was extruding plastic. And he moves into a second floor apartment over a gas station where he soon meets a new friend who just happened to be a beat poet.
Oh.
Any guesses who it might have been?
Someone in the pantheon, like San Francisco, North Beach, and
it's the 70s. It's
we don't know.
I want to say,
helpful, wouldn't it?
I want to say it's the late 60s, early 70s.
You want 70s. To say it, or is it? I mean that. Because that really meant the beat poets were biggest in the 50s for sure, but obviously in the 60s, everybody knows a lot of the, Howl and all of that. And I don't even want to say last names yet.
Okay.
I'm proud to say I don't know a single beat poet.
You do.
You will have heard of him. Yeah.
Now, I wish I knew what year. So, we're in Kansas, yes?
For the listeners,
I'm just going to try and answer the beat thing, but that there is a number of significant, and you think that we're in Kansas and you think it's the early 70s. Now, that says to me that perhaps those that were in San Francisco perhaps moved. It might be Ginsberg, it might be Burroughs, it might be... No, Kerouac is dead now, because you said it's the 70s. It could be Diane de Prima. Diane de Prima, it could be...
You've said the right name.
Ooh.
In that list, so...
Ginsberg.
Kerouac. No, Kerouac's dead, right?
Drake.
Burroughs.
Who was the first one?
William Burroughs.
It was William Burroughs. Oh. And that's a tough one, because he's like the third tenor that no one... remembers as much.
Well, I would beg to differ with that. There's only in that William Burroughs, Junkie is one of the hits. I mean, you all know William Burroughs. They seem, you know what? I feel you're getting the wrong impression of me. I'm not mean. But I am genuinely, this is a very interesting thing you're doing on the podcast. And I honestly, it is. And I was very happy to participate. I like it. So what I'm saying, when I say this, if I didn't respect it, I'd say nothing. I'd say, well, run the clock. Let's just run the clock. But I do care about it. I'm being sincere, and I know you do too. You're here.
Harvey and Burroughs become great friends. They would sit on the front stoop together drinking beer, and Harvey would talk a lot about the brain, bragging about how he was sending pieces of it off to various scientists. And Burroughs liked to make a silly little joke about this brain using a bit of wordplay. Any guess what he might have quipped to the passersby?
So you're asking us to be as good wordsmiths as Burroughs?
As Burroughs, yeah.
Can you spare a brain cell?
Right. But is that technically... That's what I'm trying to think the context of what you said, like technically wordplay.
Insane in the Einstein...
No. Cypress Hill had not dropped that single.
It's true. Yet. It's true.
I think, because we don't know what year it is, but... And also, I didn't know Burroughs at that time. If it was 70s, I thought he lived at the Chelsea Hotel, so...
Has he still got this cool, like when he got chucked out of the lab, has he got the beer cooler with the brain, or did he have to leave that in the lab, or has he got that with him still?
No, that's what he's storing in Kansas, is the cooler.
So he doesn't have it anymore?
He's still got some of it. He sent a bit of it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Burroughs liked to tell passersby that he could have a piece of Einstein's mind anytime he wanted.
Oh, like, I'll give you a piece of my mind. Okay. Yeah. But grammatically, that's unwieldy.
Yeah. It is.
But I see
it's a little
where he's
hackneyed,
going.
Though.
I see where he's going with that one.
No. Oh, Janine, you're gonna love this.
I feel it like is... she's being sarcastic.
No. No, I'm being very earnest.
Okay.
Now we are all the way to 1985.
Oh! The year I got my campus housing broken into. Oh. The year I got robbed.
We've come full circle.
Look how everything connected. Oh, you're really taking my picture right now? Me going. So this is.
Send me that picture when you're going. Thank you.
This is 30 years after the brain was stolen, and Harvey and his collaborators finally published the very first study of Einstein's brain. Did they find differences between Einstein's brain and the control brains?
No.
I'm going to say no.
No.
I'm going to say yes.
You're correct.
Yes.
Oh. But. With a disclaimer. So they reported an abnormal proportion of two types of cells, including neurons. So basically, their claim was that Einstein had more neurons than the average human brain. Five additional studies were published after that, also reporting additional differences. And it was claimed that the studies could help us again with the underpinnings of intelligence. What's the consensus now about whether there were, in fact, any differences?
Well, isn't there some that say with neuroplasticity, and as you get older, that you're supposed to keep your neuroplasticity sharp by doing things like crosswords, and that new neural pathways can come. And so if you're always thinking and challenge yourself the way Einstein did, is it possible he had many more synapses and neural pathways? But I don't know. I don't know.
He did a lot of crosswords.
He did the New York Times crossword in pen. In pen. Not a pencil.
Yeah. What do you think?
I reckon that's great. I like that. But I reckon all these studies have been debunked. Like, they'll say, oh, yeah, well, you had formaldehyde in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and we would do it differently now.
Katie, you're spot on. Ah. I will give it to you. They've gone back over these studies, and most scientists agree the studies were hugely flawed.
I thought they were just waiting for, like, Brian Cox to die, Professor Brian Cox.
Not the actor.
Yeah, I was going to say, I should have said Professor Brian Cox. Like, why choose the man where there's two people with his name? Brilliant.
Now fuck off.
That'd be awful. Succession. They'd have to cancel Succession on HBO, which is such a good show. Brian Cox is really good at
it. Oh my gosh.
Playing Rupert Murdoch.
Outstanding. Outstanding. What do you think? This will be your last question. What were some of the reasons the studies weren't valid?
I would say that perhaps the storage process didn't keep the brain in a condition that needed to be.
Yeah,
and
correct.
And that it was, from its very underpinnings, stolen, but that you can't just keep slicing it and keep it for years and years in a cooler and in a jar, that it would just degrade and it wouldn't be a proper controlled experiment.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts?
Well, I agree. I think we got a case of stinky brain.
I didn't think about what it would smell like.
Yeah. Horrid.
Yeah, that was a major problem. They obviously used control brains that were fresh. And this created a huge bias, because any scientist working between the two knew which one was Einstein's brain, and you want to believe that there are differences. And when a scientist wants to find something, they will find it. So huge problem. They also use control brains from humans who are aged 47 to 80, so a huge range, and he died at 76. I will, if I may, read a quote from National Geographic. just because I thought this was interesting. It makes me so angry to think of all that was wasted in these investigations. There was the monetary cost of the studies, there was a personal cost, and that Einstein's family was essentially strong-armed. And there was a public cost. Over the years, the public was misled about the findings and their supposed scientific value. Einstein understood all too well the public's obsession with him and celebrity and specialness, and he knew that scientists would pore over his brain and make grand pronouncements about what makes a genius, and he knew it would be bullshit.
Oh.
But what he didn't know was how to not fuck his cousin. Now, Harvey gave his very last public interview. He stayed firm on the no, it was different. He gave his last public interview when he was 92 years old.
Wow.
It was 2005. It was the 50th anniversary of Einstein's death. And then he died shortly after that. And in a weird coincidence, he died in the same hospital where Einstein had died. Ooh. But nobody took his brain. To Einstein.
Cheers.
Alrighty. Now is the time when we invite one of you to come up. Does anybody have a crime at the ready? Put up your hand. Oh. Yeah. I mean, are you sure? Because you only did a half-mast hand raise, and I don't want you to feel... Okay, come on up.
Come on up. Give her a hand.
Woo-woo.
Hi.
What's your name?
Ellie.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi, Ellie.
Thank you so much for coming up. Tell us your story.
So my Amazon account was hacked and someone bought $2,000 worth of iPhones.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that?
Bitter.
Yeah.
So teaching salary doesn't exactly cover $2,000 worth of iPhones in one go.
Oh, no. So did you call the police?
So I found out because I got a notification from Amazon saying, your phone's going to be delivered. And I went, what phone?
Oh, my gosh.
And then found the order on my Amazon history and was like, that wasn't me. Checked the address. Someone in Birmingham. Never been
wow.
to Birmingham.
Wow.
So I had the person's address
That's
and
great.
Phone number.
Yeah.
Can we call them?
Yes.
And when I contacted Amazon, they went, you sure you don't know them? Are you sure? I went, I'm definitely sure I don't know them. And they're like, yeah, but it's on your account. I was like, okay. There was just, yeah, no sense of urgency to fix the problem.
But don't they have, there must be a department for like hacking and online stuff.
I emailed all over.
They can't just go, oh yeah, well, it's your account, love.
Yeah.
Like, that's not.
I did get
he's asked to come to your house and
I
apologize.
Did get my own back though. And when I got the email through saying, your iPhone will be delivered on Thursday. I went, no, it won't. So I postponed the delivery by 2 days every time it came up.
Yeah. Are you still doing it now?
No, it got cancelled.
Oh,
but the
so
guy
clever.
Then tried to lock me out of my Amazon account when I contacted Amazon. Spent 3 hours on the phone proving that I was me.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, what do you want from me?
Did you have to go through things like you've bought some like extra strength? I'm just trying to think of something embarrassing.
Oh, say your last five purchases.
Gonna, yeah, I was going to say extra strength tampons. Like, what? What is that like? Oh,
God, usually,
so
I'm usually buying stuff for my classroom. So it's like, did you buy jelly bath and shaving foam? So it's like, yes. And did you buy 3 litres of bubble bath? Yes.
Can I come to your school? That sounds
I
amazing.
Know, you sound
he
like
just got shouted
what
at.
What lesson is that?
Oh, so I'm a SEND specialist teacher, so we do lots of sensory
programs. Amazing.
Really
amazing.
Cool. But
so you got your money back.
They what? Didn't take the money originally. They took like 50p and then £3. They went, are you sure this isn't you? And I went, I'm sure it's not me. They went, okay, we're going to refund your money. And I went,
okay.
Oh, I'll have $2,000. Yeah, sure. Because they never took it.
Did you get the $2,000 from Amazon?
No, she didn't. She didn't. Well, I'm sorry you didn't benefit from, from your victimhood.
But they then, after I kept delaying the postage date, I then got a phone call from Amazon saying, do you know this phone number? No. Oh, well, they're trying to tie your account to it so that they can change the password and get notifications to their phone if you try and change the password.
Okay.
And then whilst I was on the phone, they went, we've put it through. And I went, why?
Oh, shit.
this?
So they locked me out of my Amazon account and cancelled all of my subscription orders.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you get back? Is that when you then called Amazon?
I was still on the phone to Amazon whilst they were telling
me. You need
me
to go on Dirty Rotten Scammers. I saw it in the hotel. It's on TV here. It's on an ad between Morse and Morse and because Morse is on a lot.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, eventually I convinced them that I was still me. Definitely still me.
So they put it back to you?
They put it back to me and put it back to my phone number. And then yeah. They went, are you sure you don't want this number attached to your account? So I went,
oh, God.
No.
Oh, my gosh. I respected them so much until right now. makes you think.
It reminds me of my friend who had his Netflix account hacked and just someone was watching his Netflix. Mm. And rather than change his password immediately, he did it just before they got to the last episode of Stranger Things.
Well, the Netflix scam is that they change the language to Spanish, so you
that's
can't
exactly,
find how
yes,
to
I was
going to
say, my boyfriend Pete, that's happened more than once, and it's
they
a different
it,
language, and then you just see what they're watching.
Not that that one's happened to me as well.
It's your password, password.
Oh, well, look, thank you very much for sharing the story. Thank you for being a teacher.
Yes, you better put belly!
Enjoy your Prosecco. Right. Well, we have just enough time to ask our guest, Janine, is there anything you'd like to plug? Your show here? Anything else?
I feel embarrassed. I have a show. You don't have to go. I'm not the best advocate for myself because there's so much competition. It just seems wrong to say, come to see my show. If you want to, you can, but I honestly don't feel comfortable saying that.
That's
I mean,
fine.
That's very nice.
That's fine. It's fantastic. We all went on the first night we were here,
yeah,
and it's fabulous.
We loved it.
That's so very nice of you. But
it's called Pardon My Tangent, and it's on at the Gilded Balloon.
The Gilded Balloon. Is that not how it's pronounced?
No, I think you're the first one to nail it, actually. Oh. You've been traipsing around saying it wrong. Anything else you want to tell us about?
Yeah, what are you up to after Edinburgh?
Just going back to New York, I go back. I'm here for the full run, and then I just have more stand-up stuff in, like, Dallas and Austin and just other road stuff. I wish I had more exciting things to tell you. I am most scared of, if you remember from the show I may have mentioned, how messy, because my the person I live with is not clean. It doesn't clean up. And
I Janine, I left one mug in the sink.
No, it's not you. No. Not you. My partner Pete is I
planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm nervous about how far behind the eight ball I'm going to be cleaning-wise when I get home because he just won't. It's that's what's going to happen when I get home. And I don't know that's worth plugging, but she said so that cleaning. I'm going to be cleaning a great deal. Fabrice and Clark swiping all that. It's not eco-friendly, but I don't have children, so I have wiggle room. So it's a normal carbon footprint.
Loads of wiggle room. Well, Janine, thank you so much.
Thank
it's
you.
Been amazing having you on the show.
Thank you.
Janine Garofalo, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay, Janine.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We've been Drunk Women Solving Crime. Thank you for being such
Thank
a
you.
Lovely daytime audience. Bye.
Bye.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.